Welcome to the Summit Restoration Church podcast, where hope comes alive, lives are restored, and Jesus leads the way. Let's climb higher together.
But the Lord said now is the time for her to be here, and she's nine. But yes, it's such an honor and a privilege to be with you tonight. We do come from Hamilton, Alabama. We have the privilege of being on staff at a ministry called The Ramp. Who has ever been to a conference at The Ramp? Raise your hand. I love it. The majority of you. Okay. Well, we moved there not even 2 years ago, and I get to direct the School of the Arts, and my husband directs the School of Worship. And so we just love getting to be a part of that ministry and running with the amazing woman of God, Miss Karen Wheaton. I brought with me tonight, they're not my biological kids, but I call them my spirit daughters, okay? They are two of my spiritual daughters, Andrea Valverde. Can you say hello? I don't say her last name right. She's from Panama originally, and I butcher it every time. But Andrea, and then Amanda Stone is with us tonight. Give it up for Amanda. And Andrea actually moved with us to Hamilton almost 2 years ago. The Lord told her to go with our family. And so she moved to Hamilton with us from Huntsville and serves as the administrative director of Ramp Church. And then Amanda works within our School of the Arts department. She oversees all of our visual arts. And so they're both just dynamic and unbelievable. And I thank you both for being here tonight. Well, are you ready for the word? Are you ready for the word? I believe that God has sent me here on a mission as his messenger, not for you to hear anything I have to say, but for you to hear straight from his heart. I want to honor Pastor Bridget. Pastor B, where are you at? Can we give it up for Pastor B? She is amazing. Actually, the title of tonight's message is Pursuit, and then right beside that, Into the Deep. And I don't know what your name is at the 87 on your shirt, but I feel like you, or I think you were the one actually praying in pre-service prayer. I poked my head out that tonight would be the night that we go to the deep places. And you had no idea that that's what I was speaking on. So I love how the Holy Spirit works. That's actually how the Spirit of God operates. He loves to weave tapestries for us from beginning to end, and he's all in the middle. And so when we're unified with him, we're then unified with one another. So I don't even know that brother, but in the spirit, I do know him. And so he was prophesying something before it was ever even happening, because that is where the Spirit of the Lord desires to take us, okay? So I'm going to pray really quick, and then we are going to dive into the deep places. Are you ready? Oh, Spirit of God, we love you. We thank you that your presence is already here. We thank you that when we step from worship to the Word, there is no separation. It's actually a continuation. And so, God, all we do right now is we say yes to going from glory to glory. And we thank you that in your presence, there is everything that we need. And we also thank you that when we're asking for you to come, we don't have to beg. All we have to do as sons and daughters is pull down what we already have access to in this room. And so as sons and daughters, we pull down the more. We pull down the more that you have in store for every single one of your people tonight. I ask that you would make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer, that I could write your heart to your people tonight. And I thank you that lives are going to be changed. They're going to walk out of this place never the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I have to point out your shirt. Because I was just with Fresh Start Church in Phoenix, Arizona, and that's one of their shirts. Have you been there? Did you just order it online? That's so awesome. Well, I saw the back of it, and I was like, that looks really familiar. So I kind of like poked my head around to see the front, and I should have worn my Prepare the Way of the Lord shirt. We could have been twinsies. Maybe next time. Thank you. Amen. Okay. Well, are you taking notes? It's really important that you take notes. Again, not for you to hear anything I have to say, but because the Lord has something to speak over your life tonight, and I don't want you to miss anything. So the title of this is Pursuit, and right beside that, you can put Into the Deep. I love what Psalm 63, 8 says. This was David who wrote this particular psalm, and he actually wrote it when he was running for his life from King Saul. He wrote it while he was in the wilderness of Judah, and he said, "With passion, I pursue you and I cling to you because I feel your grip on my life." This is not where we're going to stay tonight, but I do want you to understand David had a revelation of the grip of God on his life. He had a revelation that if God had done it for him before, God would do it for him again. So it didn't matter where David found himself, what wilderness he found himself running in, who he found himself running from, David had a revelation of the holy grip of God. Can I tell you, and again, this is not where we're going tonight, but I want you to get this. You can't have a revelation of the grip of God while you're allowing the world to have a grip on your life. You can't have a revelation of the holy grip of God while you are still letting fear and intimidation and addiction and your past grip you and pull you back. David had a revelation of the grip of God on his life, and it is imperative that we young people have that revelation. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. The Bible says, "I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen them begging for bread." He will never walk away from you. It is actually us that makes the choice to walk away from him. So tonight, I believe we're in a house that is passionately pursuing the Lord and clinging to him. And while we're doing that, we're going to have a revelation of his grip on us like never before. It goes on to say, and this is where we're really going to land tonight. David said, "I keep my soul close to your heart." We're going to talk about someone in a moment who lived their life just to be close to him. They couldn't get enough of him. They could not get enough of walking out this thing called life with a man named Jesus. And so David also had that revelation. That's not even who we're going to be talking about tonight, but that's where I wanted to start. Also, Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." You seek me and you find me when you seek me with all of your heart. So I want you to understand that our pursuit of the Lord is never going to leave us empty-handed. What do I mean by that? We have a promise that when we choose to seek him with all of our hearts, without distraction, without clinging to anything else, when we choose to lock eyes with him and pursue him, he says, "You will find me. And when you find me, there will be everything that you need." And I really believe the moment I walked into this house, this is a house who desires to pursue the heart of God. Have you come to pursue the heart of God tonight? Amen. So tonight we're really going to be talking about three things, and I want you to write them down. The first thing is deep discipleship. Each of you in this room are called to a life of deep discipleship. It is really important that these moments of encounter that you have with the Lord, that you've had this week, that it doesn't end here. That you get up from these moments of encounter, young person, and then you pursue a lifestyle of discipleship. Leaders, it's important that we don't leave them empty-handed after they've walked away from these moments of encounter. We've got to pursue a lifestyle of discipleship with them because they need what you carry. So we're called to a life of deep discipleship. The second thing that we're going to be talking about tonight is we are called to a life of deep devotion. Deep devotion. What is devotion? It's utter and complete dependence upon God. There's a giant, a general in the faith by the name of Catherine Coleman. I love this woman. And she really embodied to me this lifestyle of deep devotion, of utter dependence upon God. She was known for something that she said, and she would pray it actually every time before she went out onto the platform to preach. And she preached in front of thousands. And she would say, God, somehow, will you take my nothingness and turn it into something? Because without you, I am nothing. That's what devotion is. It is a place of utter and complete dependence upon God. The last thing that we're going to talk about, which I've kind of already dove into, deep discipleship, deep devotion, you're called to a place of deep dependence. You're called to a life of deep dependence. He desires to walk with you beyond the four walls of this church. He desires to be with you every step of the way. Tonight, we're going into the deep. Say, into the deep. All right. You were not made to live in shallow waters. You were not made to live in shallow waters. Why? Because God is looking for friends, not just followers. God is desiring friendship with you, not just followers. God is calling us beyond surface level faith. Why? Because he wants to know you deeply. What does this look like? He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. The beautiful thing about the Lord is even though he can already see everything about you, he can see the days ahead, and he's already obviously seen the days in the past. He doesn't care about that. He wants to walk with you because he wants to have a friendship with you. He desires for us to open up our lives, open up our hearts, and share with him the things that we've not shared with anyone else. I love how Psalm 42:7 says, deep calls unto deep. What does this look like? As we cry out to God from the depths of our hearts, guess what, young person? He responds to us from the depths of his. He is not a surface level God. He is not a shallow type of a God. If we would be willing to open ourselves up and cry out to him from the depths of our hearts, his promise over us is he will respond from the depths of his. Shallow water is safe. It's predictable. It's comfortable. Did you know that the word shallow, the actual definition, Merriam Dictionary defines it as this, a place of little depth. We were not called to be people of little depth. What did we just say? We are called to be people who are willing to cry out from the deep because we're hungry and we're desperate for him to respond from the deep. But deep water is unknown. It's stretching. And guess what? It's full of mystery. But here's the catch. That's where Jesus is. That's where we're called to go. We're called to go into the unknown. We're called to dive into the mysteries of his heart. We're called to be stretched. If you are not being stretched, you're growing stagnant. If you do not wake up every day and feel like a rubber band that is about to explode, how about this? If you're not going back into your schools willing to be put in uncomfortable positions so that your life can echo who he is, then you're growing stagnant. I think there are a lot of us who live our lives in a place where we want to go deep with God, but instead of diving in as we are, saying, not my will, but yours be done, we actually put on all of these like safety floaties. You know, like arm floaties that you wear before you can swim, or when you're at the ocean and you put the ring floaties on. I think that's how we live our life, because we would rather be safe. We would rather things be comfortable. As long as it's how we want it, really sometimes I think we say to the Lord, as long as you do it the way I want it done, I'll say yes. As long as you don't ask me to lay down that relationship. As long as you don't ask me to put down my PS5 controller, as long as you don't ask me to fast my cell phone, I promise I'm going deep, God. I am going. Here is my yes, Lord. I am ready. But the moment you ask me to fully surrender, I don't think I can do it. So we walk around with these inflatable floaties on. I believe tonight's the night where the floaties are coming off. We're not called to safety. We are called to be safe in the Lord. But we're not called for predictability. We're not called for comfortability. We are called to go into the deep places of God. Let me share with you a quick personal story. So I grew up in church. I'm a preacher's kid. I've been to thousands of worship services, hundreds of probably hours in the presence of the Lord. Amazing. Every opportunity I was handed pretty much on a silver platter to have just this unbelievable deep relationship and friendship with God. Yet I had no idea who he really was, or that I even had access to the more of God every time I came into his presence. So I found myself as one of those people that, you know how when you go into the ocean and you're just kind of coasting on your float, but you don't realize because of the current, you've closed your eyes, maybe you've even gone to sleep. You don't realize you wake up 15 minutes later and you've drifted 2 miles in the opposite direction. So here I am as a 19-year-old, having been raised in the church, having loved God, but I had no idea that there was more to God that I could encounter. When my eyes were finally opened one day to realizing, whoa, I've drifted miles in the opposite direction, and I was actually further away from his heart than I had ever been. And that's what happens when we are not awake, when we are not alert, when we allow the world to lullaby us to sleep, we actually find ourselves 10 miles in the opposite direction. But when I finally had the revelation that there was more to God that I could access, it changed my entire world. You say, what is the more of God? And how do I access it? Well, I want to hand you some tools and some keys tonight. Amen? Are we listening? Say, I'm listening. Okay, how do I pull down the more of God? Number one, it's intimacy with the Lord. It's intimacy with God. You said, that's a big word. What does it even mean? The word intimacy actually means into me you see. Into me I'm letting you see. What does that look like? It means you're holding nothing back. It's a place of total surrender, complete obedience. It's a place of daily friendship, daily communion with the Lord. Whenever I think about this word intimacy, I think of a young boy by the name of Samuel, who would have been about 12, 13, 14 years old when God called out to Samuel. Now, this wasn't just God calling out to Samuel for the sake of calling him. He was calling him because he wanted to ignite and awaken the original design that was on the inside of Samuel, and was saying to him, Samuel, I don't care how young you might think you are, I'm ready to call you into the ministry. I have need of you, Samuel. Samuel's response to God when God called out to him is actually a Hebrew word called hineni. I know it's kind of funny. It sounds like henene, but it's not. Henene. Do you want to know what that word means? It means here I am. I'm not distracted. I'm not pulled by anything else. I am fully present. And then it goes on to say, and whatever you ask of me, my answer is yes. Did you know that in Israel today, when Jewish children are in school and their name is called, let's say I call Amanda's name, I call Andrea's name, they raise their hand, this happens every day, and they say, Hanani, here I am. I'm not distracted. What would happen if a generation of young people responded to the call of God that is on their life with a here I am, I'm willing to give up everything. I'm not distracted. I'm not disillusioned. I'm not willing to be pulled in different directions anymore. I will do whatever it takes. I just want to be close to you. If we want to pull down the more of God, we've got to be willing to know him intimately. Moses fully understood this. It says that actually Moses and God would talk face to face like we're talking right now. It said that they would talk face to face like friends talk to each other. But did you know that the scripture also goes on to say that even after Moses had had these face-to-face encounters with God, he was not satisfied. It was after these face-to-face encounters that he called out to God and said, but God, please show me your glory. What would happen if we as a generation were never satisfied with what we got from God the day before, but came into his presence more hungry and more thirsty than the last time? I'm so grateful for what you've experienced over the last 3 days, but I've come to tell you tonight there is even yet more to be pulled down from the heart of God for your life. The second thing, how do I access the more? How do I pull down the more? You run in and look. Write that down. You run in and look. I love how Jesus says it in John chapter 14, verse 2. He said that in my Father's house, there are many rooms. I want you to close your eyes for just a second. I'm not getting weird, but we're going to do a little exercise because I love this. He said, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. Close your eyes. I want you to envision the most beautiful mansion you've ever seen, like a castle. Visualize this beautiful house, and your heavenly Father is actually standing on the front porch of this house. And you are playing outside in the front yard. And he says to you, Samantha, Abigail, Seth, Blake, I don't know if that's any of your names in this place, but he calls out to you, Ashlyn, I want you to come inside. So you run up to the front porch. He says, here's a door. All you have to do is open it up and come in. So you turn the doorknob, you open it up, and you realize that's not the only door that's in that mansion. There is yet another door, and then a door after that, and then a door after that. Open your eyes. Look at me really, really quick. That is the heart of God. He never runs out. You say, that's a little bit confusing. Let me explain it to you. The Bible says, if you'll come knocking, if you'll come seeking, I promise I'll open up the door to you and give you the desires of your heart. What Jesus was saying when he said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions, he was actually saying, in my Father's house, there is an endless supply of doors of encounter that you can walk through. All you have to do is knock. I don't want to be the type of daughter of the King of Kings that stays in the front yard when I've got access to the whole house. When I've got access to every room in my dad's house, he's not asking me to pay the bill. He's not asking me to lift a finger. All he says is, come in, and what I have, I will freely give to you. So the second key to pulling down the more is run in and look. I love what a friend of mine said last year, which many of you have probably heard him, Jose Diaz. He's really awesome. He comes to the ramp a lot. But in this whole conversation that we're having tonight about encountering the more of God, stepping into the deep, he actually said last year at Summer Ramp 3, he said, to be human is to be face to face with God. To be human is to be face to face with God. What does that tell us? We actually weren't built to look at anything other than Him. We were not made. When Psalm 139 says that He fashioned us, He formed us, He knew us when we were in our mother's womb. The word womb there is actually secret place. We were looking at Him when He was forming us. We were not created to lock eyes with any other lover, any other idol, but the face of God. And how many of you could agree we have a culture right now that is vying for our attention? They are desperate to pull us away from the one thing that we were made to look at. You weren't made to look at relationships. You weren't made to look at material things. You were not made to be distracted. You were made to lock eyes with the man whose eyes burn like fire for you. To be human is to be face to face with God. So we're going to dive in right now and talk about a young man who understood life in the deep. He had a revelation of walking life out with Jesus in the deep places, because as David said in Psalm 63:8, this young man knew what it was like to keep his soul close to the heart of God. This young man understood deep discipleship, deep devotion, and deep dependence. We're going to talk about John the Beloved. And I'm going to go quickly tonight because I so believe that there's a divine appointment for you waiting in these altars. But John, his life to me really could be summed up in one phrase, and it was a life that went deep. It was a life that went deep. John understood the deep places of God's heart. Where do we see this? Well, we're going to go on a little journey just for a moment, and we're going to make a few stops in John's life. Are we ready? Say, I'm listening. Well, the first thing we know about John's life is he was actually the youngest disciple. Most people believe he would have been 18 or 19 years old, a teenager, when Jesus, in Matthew chapter 4, let me just read it to you. It says, leaving there, Jesus found three other men sitting in a boat, mending their nets. Two were brothers, Jacob and John, and they were with their father Zebedee. Jesus called to Jacob and John to his side. He called them to his side and said, come and follow me. Don't miss this. And at once they left their boat and their father and began to follow Jesus. John didn't look at Jesus and say, thank you so much for the invitation to follow you and know you intimately. I've just got a couple things I need to finish. I've got this girlfriend back at home, and I'm just really not ready to break up with her yet. But if you'll give me a couple months, I think I'll be ready to surrender then. No, the Bible actually says that he immediately, at once, chose to give up. Actually, the Bible tells us he gave up his inheritance. He gave up a physical inheritance because he said, I'll lay it all down. There's something about this man that I've got to get to know. So already we see John is a young man of faith. He leaves his nets, leaves his father. He leaves the family business because he wants to say yes to Jesus. Can I tell you tonight, you're not too young to go to the deep places of God. You don't have to ride your parents' coattail to encounter. You have full permission tonight to experience the heart of God in a way that you've never thought possible. I love what 1 Timothy 4:12 says, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. Don't let anyone, but set an example for the believers in speech and conduct, in love and faith and in purity. No matter what age you are, you can be an example of how to go to the deep places in God. John didn't wait until he was older. He didn't wait until he was more qualified. He said yes immediately. The next place that we're going to go in John's story, which so many of you, probably all of you in this room, are familiar with, but we're going to go to the Last Supper in John chapter 13. We see that he was the one. He was the disciple who rested his head on the chest of Jesus. What I love about this passage of scripture is that Jesus had actually just told all of the disciples, someone amongst you is about to betray me. What a heavy message. What a heavy announcement to make. This was the last meal also, which is why it's called the Last Supper, that they would all enjoy together before Jesus was crucified and died. What I love about this moment, though, is after Jesus says this, the Bible actually says that Simon Peter leans over to John and says, "Hey, John, will you find out who Jesus is talking about?" Can I tell you, why do I point out that part of the story? I point it out because those who are willing to go to the deep, those who are willing to rest their head on the chest of Jesus, other people around you are not only going to take notice, but they're going to want you to tell them the secrets of his heart. Peter had taken note of the position that John had taken in Jesus' life. People around you are going to take note of your surrender and your decision to not just follow him, but to become his friend. And they're going to ask you questions about what he's saying, and you get to share with him things of his heart. So he rested his head on Jesus' chest. Can I tell you, you can't go deep if you keep God at arm's length. You cannot tonight go deep if you keep him at arm's length. I feel like there are some of you probably in this room that you've kept him at arm's length because you don't fully trust him with some things that have happened in your past. You don't fully trust him. How can you trust him with your future if you can't find him in your past? But I believe tonight is the night we're going to invite Holy Spirit, invite the Trinity into every area of our heart to bring healing, deliverance, restoration, so that every barrier that we've put in place between us and him is removed tonight. Deep discipleship is rooted in intimacy. Deep discipleship is rooted in intimacy. That's the first thing I said that we were called to tonight. The second thing that we're called to is deep devotion. John had a revelation of a devoted life. Where do we see this? Well, he stayed with Jesus at the cross when every other disciple scattered. He stayed when everyone else left. Why is this important? People who are devoted choose to stay in the room. People who are devoted choose to stay close even when it gets hard, even when things are happening that they don't understand, even when they feel persecuted or when hardships are all around them, when you feel pressed and crushed. Devotion extends beyond that place and says, no matter if I can feel you, no matter if I feel like I'm hearing you or seeing you, I'm going to stay devoted. This is what John did. He's watching the man that he loves, the man that he's devoted his life to, die on a cross. Yet he said, no matter what, even in the midst of what I might not understand, I will stay devoted. Devotion screams, give me Jesus, when culture would rather tell you he ain't worth it. It's a posture that says, I'm not going anywhere but into the heart of God, and from there, everything else in my life will flow. The next place that we see John is Jesus actually looking at John and Mary, Jesus's mother, Mary Magdalene, Mary's sister. They're there also, him and three women. Ladies, we got it together, okay? Praise God for women. Praise God for women. They were willing to stay. I'm not judging the men in the house. But he looks at John and he says, John, I want you to take care of my mom. Why do I tell you this? Because John was present get this, Jesus gave him responsibility. Because of John's devotion to the Lord, to stick around, to stay in the room when everyone else scattered, Jesus said, I've got plans. I've got a job for you, and I want to hand you responsibility because you've chosen to stick around. You can't carry kingdom assignments from a distance. You cannot carry out the assignment of heaven that was written out over your life before the foundations of the world from a distance. We're coming in close tonight. We're coming in close tonight. We're not going to live life from a distance any longer. Devotion is about consistency, not about comfort. Devotion is about consistency, not about comfort. You say consistency, that word, it kind of scares me. It's big, it's loaded, it's weighty. Can I tell you that we don't serve a legalistic God? God's not wanting your life to be filled with check boxes that you just check it off every day. Do you want to know what consistency might look like for you in this season? Waking up every morning for the next 21 days, and instead of your cell phone being the first thing you pick up, what about it being your Bible? 21 days, consistency. Picking up your Bible, and for 30 minutes, that's the first thing that you let your eyes see. Consistency might look like for the next 21 days, you choose to pray in your heavenly language for 30 minutes every day. Can I tell you, anxiety and depression can't follow your prayer language? Can I tell you that fear and intimidation and addiction can't come nipping at your heels when you're praying in the Spirit? Praying in the Spirit is a weapon of war that God has handed his people to be able to use in the face of every enemy. Your prayer language matters. And I believe if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit tonight, tonight is the night. If you've come tonight and you are not, you're getting your prayer language tonight. I truly believe that. The final stop that we're going to go to in John's life comes from a time when he had every excuse to walk away from the Lord. He had every excuse to throw away everything he had encountered with God up until that point. Yet John chose deep dependence on the Lord in a time of great suffering. Can I tell you tonight, this is for young all the way to the older ones in the room, because I'm preaching to myself. We're going to find ourselves in seasons where the enemy is going to throw everything he can at us to try to make us throw away that which we know to be true. But those are the moments where we have to remember the firm foundation that he's placed underneath our feet, and that he will never walk away. He'll never abandon us. John had the opportunity at the end of his life, he was an old man, to throw away the encounters and throw away the depth in God that he had experienced all throughout our lives. But he understood deep dependence. He stood strong when it would have been easier to quit. He stood strong when it would have been easier for him to quit. Can I go ahead and prepare you for something? When you walk out of these doors, the enemy's going to try everything he can to get you to throw away every yes you've given this week. The enemy is going to slap you all around with old distractions, with things that you've already laid down. But you, not within yourself, but God within you, will give you the ability to say no and to stand, even when it would be easier to quit. The last stop we're going to make is out of Revelation 1, verse 9. And it just simply says, talking about John, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He was in the Spirit. And y'all might think, well, what in the world is the significance of that? That's awesome that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. This wasn't just a typical day. You see, he had been exiled to a place called Patmos. Do you want to know what Patmos means? It was an island. Patmos actually means the killing. He had been sent to a place to die. He was suffering. He had been persecuted beyond belief. Physically in his body, he had been tortured. Was in probably, I can't even imagine the type of physical pain that he was in. Yet the word tells us he was in the spirit on the Lord's day. He wasn't in his flesh. He hadn't checked out because times got difficult. He was so filled up with the revelation of who God was and who God, what God had said about him, that he found himself in the spirit on the Lord's day. It says, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice sounding like a trumpet saying to me, write in a book, John, what you will see. Did you know that had John decided to quit, had he decided to give up, we wouldn't have the book of Revelation? I want that to sink in with us for a moment. Had John decided to give up when times got hard and when things felt difficult and when he felt crushed and perplexed and really probably torn apart and asking God why, had John chosen to give in to those fleshly things, we would not have the book of Revelation. John had every excuse not to be in the spirit, but he chose to be anyways. He could have said, you know what? I don't feel like it anymore. I'm old. I've lived for you. I've done everything that you've asked me to do. I'm in prison. I'm literally in chains. But he said, instead, wait a second, I've tasted and I've seen that you're good. I've experienced a depth in your heart. And in that moment, I believe John made a choice to open up another door in the heart of God. And what that door led to was a book of revelatory visions and dreams that we now get to be partakers of. What's on the inside of you that God is ready and willing to unlock for the sake of a generation coming behind you, but you've got to be willing to stay in the spirit and pull down the more of God. We can't afford to fulfill the lusts of the flesh anymore. We can't afford to do it our way. We can't afford to not be in the spirit. Having been abused by the enemy, John still obeyed the voice. He could have stayed bitter. He could have stayed silent. But instead, he tuned his ear and wrote this incredible book. Get this. Sometimes the deepest places of God are discovered in the hardest seasons. Sometimes the deepest places of God are discovered when we find ourselves at a crossroads and we don't know where to go, we don't know where to turn, but we hear a voice behind us saying, come, if you will come unto me, I will not only give you exactly what you need. It doesn't say he'll give us what we want. It says he'll give us what we need. And he'll take us to a place in him that we never thought possible. Worship team, could I have you come? Dependence means choosing the spirit when the flesh is screaming comfort. Dependence means choosing the spirit when the flesh screams for comfort. I want you to very reverently put down your journals and put down your Bibles, and I want you to stand all across this room. I have a couple of questions that I want to ask you tonight before we respond to the altar. I believe tonight you have stepped in to a river of divine appointment tonight. You have stepped into a river that was never intended to be at your ankles. You've stepped into a river that was never intended to be at your knees or your waist. It was supposed to go over your head, because we are called to the deep places in God. I believe there are some of you tonight in this room, you're going to hear his voice audibly for the first time. I believe as Psalm 104 declares, he's actually going to send you out tonight as ministers of flames of fire. He's going to send you out tonight burning with a holy assignment because you have encountered a holy God. So I want to ask you, young person, where are you right now? Are you in the shallow or are you in the deep? Are you satisfied with what you've experienced thus far in your life? Or do you believe that there is more that you have access to pull down? Can I tell you before I move on any further to the person in the room that you've already convinced yourself, there's no way that I can experience more because of what I've done. There's no way that God will allow me to see more of himself because of where I've been or maybe even who my family is. Can I tell you that that's a lie from the enemy? That's what the Bible calls the accuser of the brethren. But we have authority to silence his voice. And tonight I believe that God is going to push you past everything you have felt has weighed you down and pull you into a place of deep encounter. Are you willing to leave comfort for closeness? Are you following but from a distance? Have you stopped maybe being present with Jesus? Leader, adult, maybe this is for you in the room. Have you let hard things and hard circumstances pull you out of the deep? Does anyone in the room feel disqualified from the deep because of things that you've done or maybe decisions that you've made? Are you scared to go into the deep with God because of what you might be willing or what you might have to give up? Are you scared of what people in this room might think or back home? Can I tell you, nothing compares to the glory of God. Nothing in this world will ever come close to what you will experience in the heart of God.
Thanks for joining us today at Summer Restoration Church. Stay encouraged, stay connected, and let's keep climbing higher together. See you next time.